Well, should come as no surprise, the subject of my sermon this morning is on motherhood. But it's the subject of godly motherhood. And there is the most definitive difference between motherhood and godly motherhood. And because we have enough time this morning, I will labor longer in the word, in hopes that this will be received in the hearts of every mother here, and every father, and every son, and every daughter. And to do that, I would like to first, without you turning to it, I would like to read Psalms 31, and I would ask that you listen carefully. Beginning in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, and so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings forth food from afar off. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. And she considers a field and buys it. She buys it with the fruit of her hands and she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strength is found in her arms. And she perceives that her merchandise is good and her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff, and she stretches out her hand to the poor, and she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And she makes fine linen and sells it and delivers and girdles unto the merchants. And strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens not her mouth except for in wisdom. And her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and needs not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. It is a shame that we read that scripture in a historical nature, because I feel that it is seldom understood in the church today the depth, the breadth, the width, the height, and the length of the meanings of those few verses. And perhaps an in-depth study verse by verse would be called for sometime in the future. But in the Amplified Bible, I found at the very end of the Amplified Version a snippet that is worth reading. And I think it speaks well of the verses I just read to you in layman terms. My daughters have done nobly and well, but you excel them all. What a glowing description here recorded of this woman in private life. This capable, intelligent, virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. It means she has done more than Miriam, the one who led a nation's women to praise God. She's done more than Deborah, the patriotic military advisor. She's done more than Ruth, the woman of constancy. Hannah, the ideal mother, the Shunammite, the hospitable woman, Huldah, the woman who revealed God's secret messages to national leaders, and even more than Queen Esther, the woman who risked sacrificing her life for her people. In that way did she excel them all. In her spiritual and practical devotion to God, which permeated every area and relationship of her life, all seven of the Christian virtues are there found like colored threads of tapestry. Her secret, which is open to everyone, is the Holy Spirit's climax to the story and to this book. In Proverbs 31:30, it becomes clear that the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom, is put forth as the true foundation for a life which is valued by God and her husband as far above rubies or pearls. Amen. Spiritual motherhood. I grappled with this sermon early on this week, wrote it several times as the Holy Spirit would speak to my heart and move from subject to subject and topic to topic. I attempted to make main points that later found that God wanted other points to be emphasized. And so for the remainder of this time this morning, I will emphasize that which God has given me with no regrets or sorrow. I think that for one step, one carnal statement that I can make after a great deal of searching for God's wisdom on this subject, I've come to the conclusion motherhood is essential. Can you say amen? It is totally essential. Where would we be without mothers? I thought about motherhood. And I thought of how distinctively different, not females are just for males, but how distinctively different mothers are from anybody else on the face of the earth. And when I say mothers, let me say this one more time and preface it by saying Christian mothers. These mothers have the sixth sense that all men lack. They have eyes round about their heads. They have miraculous intuition, seemingly knowing when we are in danger or perhaps even fibbing. They have these amazing healing powers that seem to permeate through their hugs and their kisses. And they cook better than any other person could ever hope to cook. And to every mother's son, there has never been, nor will ever be, any other mother more beautiful than their own mother. But with all this wonderful hype about mothers, mothers also are confronted with challenges. I will give you an excerpt of just a few. Hannah brought forth the prophet Samuel. After carrying that child for 9 grueling months in her womb, she did not hesitate. She did not weigh the options. She did not count the cost, but simply in travail of prayer said, "Lord, I offer back unto you my son Samuel. Use him for your glory. He's yours." Rebecca risked her own life for her son's future, as she knitted garb to cover Jacob to resemble his brother Esau, so that Jacob would have the rightful birthright. And once again, repeated in history, Rachel, who taught her son who he was and risked being alienated and cast aside by the other children when she hemmed a garment called a chemise, and placed that chemise upon Joseph's body, reflecting that he, not the other son, but that this particular son was a prodigal, and this son will carry the hope of Israel. And so the birthright was conveyed unto Joseph through the chemise, or as the Bible puts it, the coat of many colors. And even Mary, as you heard in this morning's scripture, think about it, Mary, the earthly mother of the Son of God, Here's Mary, just coming out of church, traveling and realizing in this caravan that her son wasn't with her. And so she journeys back to the temple to find out and backtrace where her son might have gone to, only to find him teaching and preaching at the age of 12 in the temple. And wondering, and so glad to have finally seen him, in my own paraphrased words, she might have said, "Where have you been? You had us worried sick." And Jesus looked, and he said, "What not, that I should be about my Father's business?" How would you feel if you walked into church and you were scolded by your 12-year-old son? Huh? Pretty humiliated, don't you think? Wow. Listen to me. Mother's Day is not always a very popular day. Maybe your mother has passed away. I buried my mother. I preached her funeral. But I also led her to Christ. And for that, I am forever grateful. I know what it feels like to lose a mother. Both myself and Sister Deanna have both lost our moms. And not a day goes by that you don't feel or sense that void that only mom could fill. I remember how tough my mom really was when she lost her dad. And the night that he had passed away, my mother and her youngest son, me, I sat with her by the fireside and played Nelson Eddy Records, my pop-up's favorite singer. And we played those records all night long into the early morning hours. And my mother set aside her grief to console her youngest son because of my sorrow for losing my pop-up. That was mother, that was my mother, stronger than she appeared to be, but so much more sensitive than she ever allowed others to see. You may have bad memories of your mother that you find yourself revisiting on Mother's Day. Not all mothers are perfect, but I think most children would like to think their moms are. But sometimes moms make mistakes and there's an indelible scar left upon the heart of a child, and it's hard to understand. So Mother's Day oftentimes brings back the remembrance of the hurts when we should really stop as Christians and let the hurts go and take time to remember the high points in our life with moms. There are those that maybe long to be a mother and could not be a mother. And this day is just a reflection or a remembrance of a hurt, of something that will never be. And some mothers have the wrong perspective of motherhood. They grapple with finding motherhood as being a time of joyfulness and fulfillment. And instead, motherhood is a challenge of a never-ending burden. And you see that. I see that in restaurants when mothers ostracize their children in a restaurant because they don't want to be bothered with them. They don't want to take time to spend with them. It's sad. But there are mothers that are like that, that have the wrong perspective. Where they get it from, I do not know. Maybe from their mother, maybe from others. But Mother's Day is not always the favorite day of the year, just like other holidays are not the favorite days of the year. So what is a mother, a Christian mother, in society today? I think today, more than ever, mothers face a bit more challenge than an ever-changing society than ever before. Even within the church, there comes mixed messages of what motherhood is really supposed to be about. This is not the pretentious 50s anymore. There's no more Donna Reeds. There's no more Father Knows Best. There's no more Leave It to Beavers. There's no more of that 1950s perfect family atmosphere. That's gone. And it is doubtful we will ever see it again. But the biblical standards of motherhood continue to be the benchmark for raising every moral, balanced, and spiritually sound developed child today. Did you hear me? What I'm about to say may upset some of you, but I really say this from experience and from a true heart. After seeing enough latchkey children sent home over the years, I can tell you that there are very few stay-at-home moms anymore. Either because of a desire to simply have more, bigger house, bigger car, more trips, whatever the case may be, more money. But also there's a multitude of families where mothers are now forced to work in order to simply survive. But I want to say this, and I want to go on record to say clearly, there is absolutely no shame whatsoever to live within your financial level or even at a lesser level for the sake of your children. I have never met a child who would have not benefited better by having his or her mother home full time instead of trading off for something else. Do you understand? Let me give you a couple of notable quotes about motherhood. Emerson said, "People are what their mothers make them." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And I quoted this last year, and I have one more quote from last year's sermon. Lord Shaftesbury said this, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. It is true to say that the influence of a mother in her home upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. The mother-infant bond is an intense relationship of unparalleled human affection. It is the foundation of the child's emotional and physical survival." I'm thankful that when our children were growing up, even though Sister Deanna worked, she never worked when the children were growing in their tender years. We waited till school. And even at that, she was home when they got home from school. And somehow she juggled, now listen to me, especially you young mothers, she didn't juggle one child. She juggled four children. I remember when Jessica was born, coming home from a C-section. Within a week, Deanna's out there trying to vacuum. And I'm not talking about a C-section, I'm talking about a C-section. You understand? She was cooking meals. She was doing the very best. She never tired. She never complained once, not once. Jeff was born as a surprise baby. After she finally got back into her size 6 dress, she cursed me. But after having Jeff, there she was, right back in the saddle again. Busy, 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 busy. Waiting on her children, waiting on her husband. Serving. Everybody say serving. What a gift motherhood is. I shared a quote last year from Betty Friedan, largely known for her part in the involvement of the feminist movement. And I want you to ask yourself after hearing this quote, how far has this feminist movement really gone? Because it is alive and it is sickly well. In 1963, Betty Friedan wrote a book called The Feminine Mystique, in which she claimed that women are trapped in an unwanted life of domesticity. Translated into English, that simply means that most women don't really want to be stay-at-home moms. 3 years later, the same woman founded the National Organization of Women, a radical political organization designed to promote and cause now known as the feminism movement. In today's society, quoting her, "any woman who is considered to have a worth and a value is one who is willing to run a business, serve in a political office, or pursue a career and let the traditional role of motherhood or homemaker be a topic referenced in our history book under the category of primitive and naive women." Let me ask you a question, mothers. Do you really believe that to be a full-time mother is to be likened unto a primitive, naive, gullible woman? I find the complete opposite. I find this way of perceiving a mother to be completely wrong. Yeah, I believe it takes a tremendous amount of courage, talent, fortitude, guts, if you will, and perhaps even a type of genii to be willing to take on motherhood full time. Listen to this quote that I found from last year, Mother's Day. I found it, well, if you remember it, you will find it once again somewhat not only humorous, but how true and sick. A university professor's wife and mother to his children had listened to a self-proclaimed genius of the academic world babbling about the world of the superior male race. This professor's wife was asked by this self-serving idiot, who is that? This professor's wife was asked by this self-serving idiot, "Do you feel inferior because women are subservient to the male race?" Tammy, how would you have replied? Jessica, I wonder. She replied, listen to this, Steve, you'll love it. "I am socializing two homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they may be instruments of the transformation of the social order to the teleological prescribed utopia inherent to eschaton." He walked away baffled. Ignorance is bliss. Needless to say, that immediately ended any further intimidation or conversation over the matter. The book of Proverbs is so deep in that 31st chapter, in those few verses, it is absolutely missed by the church today. It is looked based on a historical reference. It is based almost on a hypothetical fantasy. But I can tell you that it is livable, achievable, attainable, and claimable. I want to give you some of the hidden values and characteristics before we close this sermon out this morning of what a true Christian mother is as reflected in the Word of God. Number one, a biblical mother is one who sets the best standard of what a woman of godliness is all about. And how does she do this? She does this in her daily ways before her children. No matter the sacrifice, no matter the cost, by demonstrating love, compassion, holiness, and patience. Number two, she is envied and sometimes she's also despised for her holiness and spiritual integrity, yet she still perseveres. Wow. She sees her children as a ministry and never as a burden. She seeks to feed her children with wisdom and clothe them in the knowledge of our Savior. She is known as the silent servant to all who enter her home. Did you hear me, mothers? The silent servant to every single person that ever enters her home. She looks for the first sign of her children's readiness to be introduced to God. She never complains of her endless laboring for her home, but she decides rather to labor seamlessly and seemingly effortlessly, consistently, and constantly. She is also known as a submissive wife, not an equal wife, but a submissive wife. Known as a submissive wife before her husband, and esteems her husband, and edifies her husband before her children and all others always. She never seeks praise. She never seeks pity. She never seeks sorrow from others, but silently suffers with joy on her face. I don't believe there's any tougher job than the profession of a full-time mother. Today, it's become a profession of near obsolescence. Sad to say, many mothers that choose to accept the challenge of privilege, pardon me, the challenge and privilege of being a stay-at-home mother are often considered to be the lesser of your sex. And boy, that's wrong. That's just dead wrong. You should be considered the greater of the female species. You are truly women to be admired and embraced for all that you do, both seen and unseen, yet never seek for any praise. I think today, being Mother's Day, I assume most of you who still have mothers or wives that are mothers, children that are mothers, you have plans one way or another. But I think the best way that we as a church can celebrate motherhood today is by praying for you. So mothers, if you would please stand. Sister Deanna, would you come up here, please? Would you mothers come forward, please, and stand up here across the front of the church? Just right up here before the communion table. Sister Deanna is going to present each of you mothers with a token of our love from the church. And just stay here, stay standing. And now if you join the line, please. And if the rest of you would stand up where you're seating, and if you would lift your hands towards these dear mothers, we're going to pray for them. Come over here, Jen. Gentlemen, I ask that you stand, please, in respect for these mothers. Everybody standing, please. Tone, just take a second. Let's stand for these women, and let's pray for them. Children, stand. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of motherhood. These fine women that stand before you this morning, Lord, we pray that they be found worthy in your sight of the title of motherhood, for their labor, their endless hours, Lord, of serving, their endless love for forgiving, and their perpetual optimism for training and molding up the children of this coming world, this coming generation. We ask your anointing to fall upon them as they walk throughout their daily lives. Strengthen them, lead them, guide them, live, love, and flow through them each and every day of the remaining days of their lives, I ask. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.